Well, we signed off the show yesterday at 7 o'clock saying there's a chance the sports world will continue to twist and turn over the next 21 hours, and by 4 p.m. on Thursday, who knows what's going on. And sure enough, the sports world has been twisting. It has been turning. There are a lot of things happening in the sports world, including Harry Higgs currently at 2-under at the BMW Championship, and we will talk about that this afternoon.
Yes.
Because our boy Harry Higgs, who joined us a couple of days ago, said if he qualifies for the Tour Championship, he'll come back on the show next week.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but at one particular time, 2-under was atop the leaderboard.
It still is. I think he may have just dropped the shot, though. As I said that, I think he may have just bogeyed four, and he's down to 1-under, still T6 on the tournament. But, yeah, Harry Higgs, double H,
dialed.
Is sitting atop the leaderboard.
Let's not jinx him, though. Let's have our fingers crossed for our boy Harry, for sure.
Yeah, so we're tracking Harry Higgs. And just for the record, there is a Harry Higgs tracker now on Twitter. It's got about 45 followers.
Nice.
And I am one of them, and so is Harry Higgs
himself.
Harry Higgs is following.
Get
the
out
Harry
of here.
Higgs.
I got to find this. What is
find
it? At Higgs tracker or
let
what?
I just saw it like 2 seconds ago. Let me find it here. Harry at Harry Higgs tracker, I believe.
Okay.
There it is. Yeah, Higgs tracker, at Higgs tracker. Okay, so right there with Tiger, because there's a Tiger tracker on Twitter, which is a great follow. It's got 437,000 followers, and the Higgs tracker officially has 101. So we're closing in on Tiger. We're closing in on Tiger. We'll get there. So we'll get to that later this afternoon. Pierre LeBrunner, Hockey Insider, in about 25 minutes. Does not sound like there will be NHL games this afternoon or this evening, based on what happened yesterday in the NBA, based on, I think, the discussion in the sports world, and in large part, I think, the Hockey Diversity Alliance issuing a statement and speaking to the players who are currently in the bubble and were preparing to play today, and guys like Matt Dumba, Evander Kane, Wayne Simmonds, who was on the lunch earlier today, expressing that it would mean a lot to them, and they think it would be important for the NHL players to join arms or link arms with the NBA players from yesterday and take a stand on social injustice and fighting racism. And it appears as if that's where it's trending. I haven't seen anything official yet at 4 o'clock, but it seems like it's pretty much guaranteed there will not be games tonight. So that is significant. We can have the discussion on whether or not it's too late, too little, too late, whichever way you want to describe it. I do think the fact that games are going to be postponed because their own players asked them to do so, and the players themselves on the Islanders, the Flyers, the Canucks, the Golden Knights decided that that was the right thing to do is significant as well. You know, is it as significant as what the NBA did? Maybe not, but it's not about keeping score. It's about doing what you feel is the right thing and trying to make an impact, and hopefully this makes a positive impact.
And I don't think the players are awful people, or it's not that they don't support racial injustice for playing yesterday. There were some black former hockey players that said, I would be fine with playing. It's not like they don't support it. They're showing support today, but people are just all over them saying that they're totally off base yesterday. They missed the mark. I don't think they're awful people for playing yesterday. That's a decision the players came to make, and it's not like they don't support. It's like there was people behind microphones that worked yesterday. We worked yesterday. It doesn't mean we aren't with everyone here. It's like you don't have to say that they're the worst people for playing hockey yesterday. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. But you know what? Even if you're late to the party, if people deem that, you're still at the party. So what are you going to do with it? I think that's what has to be focused on. Sometimes in what we see, you're never going to please everyone. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Well, I'd much rather that the league at least joins along suit instead of goes the other way and says, well, we're going to continue on. And to your point, there's people that have spoken out that have said, hey, you know what? Use your platform. Continue to play, but don't have lip service. We heard Nazem Kadri last night. I watched his media where he said, you know, like, it's enough with the lip service. We need more action. Well, people are trying. The NBA took a massive step yesterday. Those players and people applauded them for their courage. Now other people are looking to follow suit, and the NHL is going to be doing that today.
Well, and that's it. Like for anyone to suggest, which I think is an accurate impression of what happened yesterday, that the Milwaukee Bucks made a massively significant, deeply thought out decision, and then suggest that everyone else should have been thinking the exact same way, is inconsistent. Like, that's just not possible. You can't sit there and applaud the Milwaukee Bucks for doing something that is very difficult, very bold, very courageous, and I think very thoroughly thought out, and then suggest that because everyone else wasn't thinking the exact same way, that they're not up to par.
That's
or
right.
That
and
they
people
deserve
behind
ridicule.
The there was people behind cameras that said, you know, this is a joke, blah, blah, blah. Well, why didn't you walk off? You could have. And people could have put microphones at all different kinds of companies around the world. Put it down and walk off if you didn't like it that much. And don't criticize the players for doing it.
Well, let's not forget that the Orlando Magic were prepared to play. They were on the court playing. They didn't know about this. My understanding is, based on the reports coming out of the meeting last night, a lot of the concern, a lot of the emotion in the room was that the other players outside of the Bucks felt blindsided by this. Like, there had been conversations, but there was no unanimous decision. It wasn't unity. It wasn't all arms linked and we're all going to do this together. It was the Milwaukee Bucks making the decision, and then as a result, the other teams deciding, okay, if we're going to do that, then we'll go forth with it. But the Orlando Magic, they were out there ready to play. So how are they different than the Boston Bruins, than the Blue Jays, than the Red Sox? Like, it was so quick. I think you allow yourself to take a step back. I credit the Bucks for what they were doing. I think we've all been listening. We've all been reflecting here. All these players that are willing to come out and speak, you know, and they're speaking from their hearts, and they're emotional about what's going on in their country, in their communities, and listen, they're right to feel that way. And I totally get it, and I totally support that. And I think they made a bold gesture yesterday. I think they made one that was very strong in terms of the message sent. I hope it leads to more movements, more change, whatever that might be, whatever they might be looking for. But I also like the fact that the NBA reconvened this morning and decided we should keep playing. You know, I think that's in their best interest, to continue to play and continue to advocate for change at the same time, because these players, they've all got dreams. They've all been dreaming of winning championships, whether it's all year or throughout their life. And I don't think it would be fair to them to kill one dream to try to keep another dream alive or to push another dream forward. I think you hopefully can have both. And I don't trust our societies, and I mean us in Canada, the states around the world, I don't trust that if they leave the bubble – and as a result, they leave this platform, then in a week or two, we're still talking about this topic. That's not the way society works today.
Right.
We move on so quickly. Things happen in 24 hours. You can't even believe it. So I think it's much more of an opportunity for them to continue to play, continue to speak, continue to demand action, continue to look towards the owners and the commissioner and the different people that they're working with in terms of business partners, and try to advocate for the change that they want to see. Because I think everyone would agree with that, and we certainly support that idea on this show.
Agreed. And, you know, Brian, the one thing that you pointed out, and I saw it even mentioned on Twitter too, is regardless if you agree with it or not, the one thing that they have done is everyone's talking about it. Like, there is some talking points there. That's where maybe that is a starting point. And I know we've had it before. We've had these talking points before. There is a lot lip service. But right now, if the NBA started it, and then Major League Baseball and soccer and the WNBA and a lot of other sports and the NHL are going to come behind, like, it's like, that shows the solidarity. That shows that sport is trying. Maybe the people above them, and that's what the message was yesterday when we were interviewing people, like, it's got to go up the chain. The owners have to. And somebody said something interesting to me today, which, you know, it went all the way to the Supreme Court, steroids. Like, people, and how long was that battle in the courts, and how many times or how many months and even years did people focus on that? Maybe you can get, you know, it involved in higher levels by this narrative and sports and people talking about it, that it gets into the court system and they take a look at, you know, systematic racism, that type of stuff. Like, to me, there has to be change. And the NBA players, the NHL, everyone who's been involved is trying. They're trying.
And I don't think anyone should, regardless of what the issue is, no one should feel pressured into making a massive decision, or, you know, we shouldn't be so trivial with the idea of a protest or a boycott. Like, it's serious. Like, you should be protesting or boycotting because you've put a lot of thought into it. You really believe in it. You believe you can make change. You believe that you want to push forward with it. And not everyone's going to be on the same timeline to get to that point.
Right.
So instead of, you know, tearing down other sports or other leagues or other people, I'd prefer just to focus on the positives of what we've seen, you know, yesterday out of the NBA, what might come out of it, the fact that they're going to return to play. The NHL is going to be on board here in the next day or two with, I guess, to an extent, what the NBA is doing and what they're trying to achieve or try to add a voice. Major League Baseball, the same thing. MLS, WNBA. And, you know, I think it's made some noise. Whether it makes the appropriate waves, we're not going to know. And we probably won't know for days, months, maybe years.
That's what I want to see. Noodles just mentioned steroids going to the top of the food chain. I want to see this to happen. I think it's such a focus on the NBA players and sports. It's like there is other people above all of us that should be huddling together, having meetings, having whatever it takes to fix this stuff, as opposed to just sports leagues. Sports leagues are a huge, massive platform, but we don't have the power to, you know, we can use our platform, the athletes can, to get people's attention, but there's people above the chain that needs to fix this crap. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the players are hoping
to do. But do you see it? I don't know. That's what they're hoping to see.
I don't know, because it's been going on for a long time, and hope something happens, but I don't know if it will. We don't have those answers right now.
No, and we're still getting information out. I would like to be a fly on the wall in the Board of Governor meetings at the NBA. You know, to see what was said, what the owners and the players talked about, and how they arrived at going back to playing. Like you said, Brian, like all the information coming out sounds like, you know, not everyone was, for lack of better words, on the same page. It was like, hey, you know, Milwaukee did this, and yeah, we support, but it would have been nice for you to give us a heads up type of thing. And I think that's where you're sitting back and you're just wanting information. I said that yesterday. You want to know. I heard Kayla Gray say that, you know, it was interesting for her to hear, like, what is, if there's a list of demands from the players to the owners, like, that's, we don't know any of that stuff because we're not privy to that information behind closed doors.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think at some point the players are going to have to make a decision on whether or not they're willing to just continue to play. And I guess they've made that decision.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Can you make demands? And then how do you guarantee that they happen? Like, nothing can happen between now and Friday or Saturday.
No.
I mean, that's just not realistic. So, I think there'll be a lot of journalism here. I think there'll be a lot of reporting. I think this whole story of the bubble is just a fascinating one, and it's not one we're ever going to forget. And there will be a lot of different books written on this, a lot of blogs, a lot of journalism, and a lot of stuff is going to come out in terms of the main players, in terms of the discussions, in terms of the mood, in terms of the emotion. And it's difficult to get a read on it from outside. You know, and even the media that's on the inside, they're disconnected. They're not in the room. Yeah, we'll track what else is coming out. But I think ultimately, you know, the NBA players that were down there, eventually they collectively came together. They want to be heard. They want to speak to the owners. They want to speak to the Board of Governors. They want some help with pushing forward what they believe is important causes and initiatives. And I would have to believe the Board of Governors and the owners are certainly listening, and likely will get to a point where they're going to try to help in some capacity. Whether that's enough in the end, I don't know. I don't think anyone can know right now. But the NBA games, we believe, will resume tomorrow, maybe Saturday. So we're likely going to have a Larry O'Brien trophy handed out. We will have a Stanley Cup handed out. We just may not have a game or two for a couple of days because the NHL likely is not going to play tonight. They might not play tomorrow. So we'll see what Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider, can tell us about that. Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5. We're tracking Harry Higgs down at the BMW Championship. Harry's currently at 1 under par, and he's out there. He's grinding, man. And yeah. Tiger, last time I checked, was 1 over.
Where is Harry on the course?
Harry is, I think he started on the back. So I think he is on, 13 or 14, but he's playing the front. So we'll keep you posted on Harry Higgs.
All right.
Yeah, there he is. There's Higgs. He's 1 under. He's through 13. That's a pretty good round, man. Like, that's this course is playing tough.
Yeah.
Like,
he's feeling
really
it.
Tough.
He's feeling it.
And he's got the whole vibe going, too. He's got no buttons done up. He's got his shades on. He's got a cool belt. He looks great.
Is he being tracked a lot heavier now? Like, you know what I mean? Like, as far as television coverage? Like,
from our audience, I guess.
Well, obviously from our audience.
Yeah, actually, but to put it in perspective, I had it on the – was it on TSN or Golf Channel? I can't remember, at 3, when they picked up the PGA feed, right? So they didn't go live until 3 o'clock. And to put it into perspective, they start, of course, with Tiger. Tiger's teeing off on the 7th or 8th hole or whatever. It was a par 3. So they see him hit a shot. He hits the green. Then they roll over to Patrick Reed, who makes like a 15-footer for birdie to go to even par. And then they went to Harry Higgs.
Wow.
So if Higgs is third in line, that suggests even NBC and the Golf Channel are like, this is a cat we want to follow.
I love it.
We want to know what's up with Harry Higgs. So we will continue to track Harry Higgs. Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider, coming up. We're tracking on whether or not the Blue Jays will play tonight. Jackie Bradley Jr. has already opted out for the Red Sox, and there is some conversations happening down in Buffalo on whether or not the two teams will play. The Jays made a trade today. We'll get into that later this afternoon as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider, coming up here in just a moment. Back-to-back bogeys for Harry Higgs. Now back to even par through 14. That's courtesy of the Harry Higgs tracker on Twitter.
Oh, no. We've jinxed him.
Yeah, we did. We did. We'll put that aside for a while. We won't continue to track Harry Higgs because we want him to win the tournament and come back on the show, ultimately. Yeah. So Pierre's coming up in a moment. Ray Ferraro in about, 45 minutes. And I saw the clip yesterday. LeBron was on Leafs Lunch talking about Freddie Anderson and his availability on the trade market. And, man, they're starting to get a lot of smoke there when it comes to Freddie, to the point where I believe his agent has even gone on the record saying, yeah, we've heard the rumors. We know what's up with Freddie Anderson. And, man, would that be a bombshell. Like, the Kapanen deal was one that caught me off guard in terms of timeline. But if you told me a week ago that the Leafs would be trading Kasperi Kapanen, I don't think I would be overly surprised. And I can't say I'd be shocked if they would trade Freddie Anderson. But that's a big move. Like, that's been your guy for 4 years.
When you haven't won with him, why do you want to be married to him long term after this? Do you know what I mean?
Like, you
want to lock in long term to a guy where you haven't won with, and you're almost. It's not that he's the main problem, but he's faltered in big games. Do you want to marry yourself long term to that where the unknown is there? I'm not sure.
I don't think they want to. I think the fact that his name is out there tells you everything you need to know, that they've kind of lost faith in his ability to either win the biggest game or give them, like, great A-level goaltending.
I don't know if losing faith is appropriately right now. They might be sniffing around, but losing faith in Freddie Anderson
might be. What's the difference? If you have full faith, why would you listen on a trade?
Yeah,
you do that?
It's probably two things. I would think. To your point, Brian, it's the faith situation where he hasn't delivered in the big games factors in. He's on an expiring contract, and he's probably going to earn a lot of money and probably wants term, and they're sitting there going, cap situation's not going to fit for him. So, you know, the best timing, if they are going to move past that player, would be right now, a year out of unrestricted free agency, where you can still get more for him, and you're changing the dynamic of the look back there.
What do you do when you go to Golf Town? What do you sniff around on anything? You sniff?
Who, me? Or Oak?
Hayes.
Or
yeah,
Hayes?
Of course I do. I sniff around.
But that doesn't mean you completely lost faith.
Oh, that's
in
not
the...
true. If I'm sniffing around at new balls, that means I've lost faith in my Pro-V. It's that easy. I just went through that experience no more than a day ago, actually. Picking up a new Bridgestone with the most obnoxious title on the ball in history.
Because you were 4 yards. What did you say yesterday at the end of the show? 4 yards from the tee?
Dude, I gave this guy a box of my golf balls that I didn't like because the logo was too big, and now he's playing them. And he's probably hitting them into areas that God knows have never been seen on Earth before.
Mm-hmm. Noodles, you got to see these balls, man. I'll take a picture. I shouldn't have just said that on the radio. I'll take a picture of this and I'll send them to you.
We need a laugh.
There is. It's the most obnoxious, loud, red
O-dog. Just grab
O-dog.
One and show it on TV.
I will. I'll go grab one in the break, and I'll bring one on for the next segment, okay? And I'll show it to you. And I'm rolling putts. I'm lining up tee shots with this. And I love it, actually. I find it hilarious. I, like, genuinely am laughing over the ball because I have an O-Dog stamped golf ball.
That's classic.
Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Pierre LeBrun. How you doing, Pierre?
I heard Dave Poulin is still playing with the same golf ball he started the golf season with. You think that's true?
Wouldn't surprise me. I don't remember seeing him lose balls, and I know he holds on to them, and he loves a free golf ball, too. I'll bet you Pulley hasn't paid for a golf ball in 30 years.
Yeah, but
30 years.
Would he be the type of guy, if it went into the drink, like he and if it was shallow enough, he'd go in after it type
maybe.
Of thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yep. He's probably got one of those scoops. They're the worst. Seeing
the
some guy
long scoop.
Oh, some guy just unwrap like a 20-yard scoop. It's like, just give it up, dude. It's a top
I see one of those
ball.
In a car. I see one of those in a golf bag. I'm back in my car. Immediate. I'm not kidding. I'm back in my car.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So there's a lot going on here, Pierre. What's the latest? I mean, I know we're all of the impression that the NHL is not going to be playing today. Mm-hmm. But is that official? Is this the players who are going to make that announcement? The league? What's going on here?
Yeah, it's been a real flurry of activity today behind the scenes, and a really important day, I think, for the sport after what was pretty, frankly, embarrassing, as far as I'm concerned, last night that they went on and played. But certainly trying to make amends today, very much a players-led movement today. Lots of conversation among the players in each bubble, with each other, with the NHLPA on conference calls. As I reported earlier today, the players then reached out and invited Vander Kane and Matt Dumba from the Alliance to come on and wanted to pick their brain. And, you know, had a chance to briefly chat with Vander Kane today, who was, you know, really happy to see that. And you know, given the events of last night, again, it's just one day and lots to be done here on this issue, but a much more positive frame of mind, I think, for the sport today. But again, the key thing here is player-driven, you know, and that's where I have a bit of disappointment with the NHL myself.
The NHL, the players, Pierre, like when you say you're that was embarrassing, the players were embarrassing last night? Because like Adam Silver didn't do that yesterday in the NBA, the players did.
Yeah, I think everyone, I'm not, you know, from players, coaches to league officials, everyone, I just think, but you know, I could live with the Lightning-Boston game having gone on because, you know, O-Dog and Noodles know players and routine. I mean, some players don't even look at their phone 8 hours out from puck drop, whatever. So it was a little tight for that game. But the 10:30 Eastern game in Edmonton, there was time, I feel, to react to what was going on in the sports world and call that game off. So I wasn't very happy with that, I have to say. Having said that, today is sounds pretty amazing. Again, lots of players-driven calls and questions being asked. And while I know that we'll probably look back and history will look back and say one day too late, it beats the alternative, which would have been to just go on like nothing happened today.
So,
and
Pierre,
there's nothing official yet. Sorry, just to finish, O-Dog. The NHLPA, as we speak, I'm just checking my phone, is still on a call with the eight teams. Because remember, this started with the four teams that were playing tonight, right? But now they brought in all eight teams to discuss, you know, the postponement and how they go from here.
Just as going back to yesterday, who are you expecting to pull the trigger? I know Hayes has kind of touched on that, but were the players supposed to say, no dice, not happening tonight? Or was Bettman supposed to step in and cancel that game? Who are you disappointed in last night at 10:30 Eastern?
Yeah, I think with both sides. Because, yes, the players, because obviously if you look at what's happening in other sports, it's players-driven. You know, so why didn't hockey players in that moment feel the same way? And I got into it in my column in The Athletic today. And this is an uncomfortable conversation, but I think one that you have to have is that the NHL and hockey is made up different culturally, right? For beginners, it's the most un-American league. I mean, it's 75% of NHL players are not from America. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't racism all over the world. Let's wake up here. There's racism plenty here in Canada. But I'm just sort of pointing out some important layers to this whole discussion, which is extremely important right now. A, the NHL is made up differently. B, it's probably the whitest league of the Big Four, hard to argue otherwise. And so from a position of the lived experience of what these athletes would have lived with growing up, it would be different, right? But that's not an excuse to do nothing. And you know, I was encouraged by some of the things I heard originally when all these protests began from a lot of NHL players. I mean, those are things we had never heard players come out of their shell and talk about before, quite frankly, right? But you have to back it up. And I think we're seeing that today. The players have taken the bull by the horn here today, and it's because of them that there likely won't be games tonight. I just kind of wish that there had been enough of a conversation last night before that Dallas-Colorado game not to play that game, from my perspective. Now, I also think that the NHL leadership, because they know they're dealing with a different set of dynamics as far as their players, could, I think, showed a bit more leadership in terms of saying, hey, you know, are you sure you want to play? You know, I'm not convinced those questions were asked, right? And so I think everyone has a part in what played out last night, but hopefully by the end of today we'll feel a little differently about everyone involved.
Yeah, and we talked about it extensively earlier, that from my standpoint, I don't think anyone should ever feel an obligation to make a stand, an obligation to protest or boycott without putting the appropriate amount of thought into it, or it feels empty. And maybe that wasn't there for them yesterday. Maybe it was, and they still decided to play. Maybe I can't speak for the players in the NHL that played, or Major League Baseball that played last night. I do wonder if there was some discussion in the NHL offices as to wondering whether or not the NBA bubble was going to completely collapse. And there was discussions of that yesterday, that it wasn't just going to be a day or two. They might leave. And then what? Was the NHL supposed to leave too? I could see why they would have been probably a little bit uneasy with that. Okay, like it's one thing. Okay, the NBA is doing this. We're into doing that to an extent. But what if they all left yesterday, Pierre? Right. What would today that the NHL shouldn't be playing anymore?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And certainly, although I didn't talk to 200 players today that are in the bubble, but I don't get the sense that the discussion today, that it was an idea from anyone to stop the NHL playoffs. I think this is very much about, are we playing tonight? Are we playing tomorrow night? And, you know, what else? I mean, I think one of the reasons that they had Evander Kane and Matt Dumba on is to further the conversation. And, in fact, it wouldn't surprise me if there are no games tonight, and then we'll see what they decide about for tomorrow, whether some of the players in the bubble use what will obviously be free time they didn't think they were going to have to actually reach back out to the Alliance to further this dialogue. That's my, you know, I know that I heard that from one player. So, listen, a lot to digest here. And I can go on forever, guys. There's so much that is hard for me to accept. I mean, you know, the lack of diversity in our sport for beginners, you know, the idea that the NHL has a slogan that was hockey for everyone, I think we can stop using that. Like, not only is it unaffordable for so many different segments of society to play hockey at an elite level, I don't know that it's getting any better. I think it's getting worse. And I think the league has a real issue in its hands with that. Like, I see already at the minor hockey level with my kids where right off the hop, you start having these side skill sessions and this and that clinic and that camp. And it's not every parent that can get in on it. And I think hockey has an issue with that, with the price of equipment that is deeply affecting the, you know, the socioeconomic fabric of the players that come out and reach the NHL level. And I know that's a bigger picture conversation for another day, but it's something I keep coming back to as I look at all this here.
Yeah, and I think that's always been the case. I think it might be more extreme today than it was, but it's always cost more to rent ice. There's more equipment involved. There's generally more travel involved. And I don't think that necessarily falls on the desk of Gary Bettman.
No,
that's more Hockey Canada.
I don't know how you can compete, though. How do you compete with a sport that, you know, basketball, you got a ball and runners. Soccer.
Yeah.
Like, how do you
I mean, it's the nature of the sport.
Well, it's funding. That absolutely, I agree. That's a different narrative. Funding, for sure, especially in areas that can't afford it. You have to have some form that everyone can at least have access to what they need to play hockey. But you're right, like, just the raw semantics of it, like, you know, we could go out in a yard, in a schoolyard and play basketball or soccer. You can't do that in hockey. You know, like, it's just the raw semantics of it, that has to be a conversation as well. And that's a bigger conversation.
And even the step before that, wanting to play hockey, I think is something that needs to be pushed forward, you know, is who wants to play hockey and who wants to feel like they'll be included. And that gets back to the slogan, I guess, hockey is for everyone. And listening to players like Wayne Simmonds and Matt Dumba and others and guys we've had on this show and guys we've heard throughout the landscape of media and social media have spoken to that it didn't always feel right. You know, it didn't always feel comfortable for them. But, you know, who's in charge of that, how you get ahead of that, that's much deeper than just saying that's on Bettman or Donald Fear to figure out.
Oh, there's no question at the grassroots level that I think Hockey Canada and USA Hockey can do more to, you know, reach out, you know, to people in need to diversify who's playing the game. No question about that. But I do think the NHL bears some, and the NHLPA, the relationships that these bodies have with equipment manufacturers and all their sponsorship deals, is there enough being done to make sure that people have access to all this? You know, and I'll tell you, I had a conversation with, I'm going to be careful here because he's not quite ready to go public with this, but with an executive on a U.S. hockey team who is putting a ton of time right now in a program to do just that, to reach out to kids at all levels in his market, but in very tangible ways to make sure that they can get to rinks, that they can get to the equipment, and that they can play if they're interested. And they can get a ride. All these different things this team is looking at. That's the stuff that interests me the most, I got to be honest, because that could have an impact 10, 15 years from now in terms of the way the NHL looks.
Yeah, well, and that's it. That, like, in terms of what is, like, tangibly achievable, you know, like, right. What I really appreciate from the NBA's push is, like, they're pushing for heavy change, a big push. Like, they're really trying to use all the power that they possibly have to push for major change that will not necessarily just affect their life, will affect the lives of many different people, which is truly incredible. And yet that's, I think we all know, is going to take a long time to get there, like a long time and a lot of help and a lot of money and a lot of advocacy and a lot of time. But, you know, taking care of what is right in front of you, or putting yourself into the scenario and trying to help and trying to invest with your time, with your money, with your platform, is something that I think we can expect more of from a lot of different people, from everyone involved in the sports world. And I could see that being a part of where we go with all this. into the future. We'll leave it there, buddy. We'll see where it goes. Keep us posted. We'll be following online, and we'll see you on SportsCenter the whole nine. Thank you for this.
Right on. All right, guys. I'm here actually on campus, so I'll go check out your dressing rooms and make sure they're okay.
Yeah, make nice. Sure. Noodles and I haven't been there for over 5 months. Poe's in there every once in a while, but
yeah.
Say hi to everyone for us.
Sounds good. All right, guys.
All right, there's Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider. It sounds as if the reports are indicating that the Red Sox have decided they're not going to play tonight, so the Jays will not be playing. So there will not be a Blue Jay game. So there you have it. The Jays will not be playing tonight. That postponement will be announced at any moment now, a joint announcement. So I guess both teams are accepting of that, as you would expect. And well, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see anyone play tonight.
It's good, though, that other leagues are embracing it so that the NBA doesn't just have to be on an island.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Okay. And listen,
And that's what last night was about. Like, in I get it. I understand why some people, like, it was right there for the NHL and for MLB to all link arms. And would that have been maybe? That's better than nothing.
And that's the thing, like, you know, better late than never. But I have to be honest, like, if I was a player in that room last night in Dallas or Colorado, like, you are focused on the game, and then you see this happening. Even if you get wind of it happening, there's still lots of questions to be answered. You can't just, you know, pack your gear up and go, okay, we're not playing. Like, you would maybe want to have some communication with somebody from the NBA and say, what, you know, what's your end game here? How are we going to get educated behind the scenes here too as well? Like, if you want us to mirror you, or if you want us to be arm in arm with you, what is your next play?
Well,
like,
and that's it.
There's
Noodles.
Information
like, as of,
coming up.
As like, of last night, there was still, it seemed like it was a coin flip on whether or not the whole thing was just going to come to an end.
I understand,
so.
And I saw you. I mean, you asked Pierre that question. What if they shut the league down? Like, and I understood. Pierre has allowed his opinion as to he's disappointed in the National Hockey League. I think there was a lot of people that were disappointed, but it's all very new. So you're trying. Like, I tried to put myself in the bubble with those guys, going, okay, did they have enough time to do it? I'm sure they did, but I would also be sitting in that room if you're having this conversation. Say, I want to support, but. You know, what's the next step? What's the end game? What is the protocol? What are we doing here? Like, okay, if we sit out today's game or we boycott today's game, like, what does that mean for us? Like, I think what they tried to do is get through yesterday and reconvene today and go, hey, we're going to educate ourselves a little bit more here, see what happens with the NBA, try and have everyone involved in this conversation. Like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, but at least I'm glad the NHL is at least trying to do something, and the players had these hard conversations today.
Yeah, and baseball appears to be going through the same thing,
right.
Every sport for the most part. We'll leave it there. We'll catch up with Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. Scott Mitchell coming up, our Jays reporter. The Jays will not play tonight, but they made a trade earlier today. Taiwan Walker, starting pitcher out of Seattle, coming in. He's got a 4 ERA. He's a reliable guy. He's a back of the rotation guy, but he's someone that you need to plug in because they've got injury problems with Shoemaker and Pearson and Thornton all in the IL. You got to bring someone in. You got a playoff team here. So we'll get into the Jays and their thought process behind making that move. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up in about 15 minutes. We are tracking the BMW Championship, where our boy Harry Higgs, last time I checked, was back at even par. Still at even through 15. Tiger's at even through 12. And in order for Tiger Woods to qualify for the Tour Championship next week, it sounds as if he's got to finish top four this weekend. So he's really got to go low over the next couple of days and put himself into at least contention for a top four spot. If he does that, he gets into the Tour Championship.
What course are they playing with those numbers? Olympia Fields or something?
Yeah, they are playing Olympia Fields.
What's going on? Is it windy or something? Like,
no, it sounds like the greens are crazy, and they haven't cut the rough to about 4 inches last Wednesday.
And left it?
And left it. Yeah, so these guys are just chopping out
so that's
of
it.
The
– it's hay, basically. It's hay bales. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's playing basically like it would when they've hosted a U.S. Open or a PGA. So it kind of sounds like the winner this weekend is going to be, I don't know, 7 under par, maybe 4 or 5 under par.
Well, let's hope Harry is there.
Yeah, we're rooting for Harry Higgs. So we'll keep you posted on that. The Jays game will not be played tonight. That will be postponed to a later date. Jays and Red Sox, I believe, both coming out in unity with that announcement any moment now. There won't be any NHL games tonight. We know there won't be any NBA games tonight. Potentially the NBA returns tomorrow, if not on Saturday. So we'll keep you posted on when the Raptors are going to play the Celtics in Game 1. It is going to happen at some point. That's our understanding. But there's still more meetings going on down in the bubble. So we'll try to keep you up to date on all the news that's coming in. The Jays made a trade today, and they acquire a pitcher from Seattle, Taijuan Walker, who's a starter. He's been around the block for a while. He's got a 4-year ERA. He's not a guy that's going to change the landscape of the American League and the American League East and all of a sudden show up and take over this rotation. But he's a reliable arm, and I think it's a message, and it's a message that I appreciate, and I think it's the right one from Shapiron Atkins, that their team is in a playoff spot. Their team's pretty hot right now. They're winning a lot of ball games. They've got a pretty weak schedule going forward. And I think this is basically the front office telling the team, we expect you to make the playoffs, so go do it.
It's kind of reflective of where they're at. They're about a 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
They're just above a nickel. And
that can get the job done sometimes.
It's like Babcock used to say all the time, we got to show our GM what we're all about and what moves to make at the deadline. And that's what the team has shown management. They didn't change the dynamic of the American League or where the Jays sit, but it's saying, okay, we kind of like what you guys are doing. We like where we're at, and here's some help. They didn't blow the doors off and go all in or anything like that. That's reflective of where they're at and what they plan on doing.
Well, the guys, it sounds like you said, they throw them a bone a little bit here, get them a little help, see if they can get to that next level, get a few, run a string together, make it into the playoffs. It'd be
nice. I don't even think they need to get to that next level, Noodles. They just need to stay on the level they're at right now. They're not winning a World Series. I mean, I know anything can happen come playoff time, and it's going to be unique with 16 teams, and in a shortened series, anything could happen. But they're not built the way the Yankees are or the way the Dodgers are or Houston or even Minnesota, Oakland. There's a bunch of teams that are much superior top to bottom than the Blue Jays are. But with the expanded playoffs, they're in right now. Like, they're comfortably in right now, and there are not really any strong contenders behind you that scare you. So if you can just kind of ride the wave you're on right now, that's probably going to be enough. And I think that would be incredibly valuable. You put yourself into a winning atmosphere. There's been a lot thrown on at this team already this year. They're playing in Buffalo. The uncertainty of where they were going to play before the season. Yeah. Everyone's dealt with a lot of tough cards with COVID and with spring training being shut down and all that. But the Jays have done it to an extreme level. And for them to perform the way they've been performing, I think is a real testament to maybe what they're building here. And they've had injuries thrown in the mix with Bichette out and Pearson and Shoemaker and Thornton now. So to bring in a guy who maybe can just stabilize things and keep you on the same level you're on right now, that's fine. I don't need more than that. I wasn't expecting more than that. I'm not expecting them to run off a 750 win percentage and chase a World Series. Stay where you're at. Get in and see what happens. I think that's valuable. That would be an impressive season considering what we've seen the last 2 or 3 years.
Do you think in the last 2 weeks they've been able to shoot home? Like, do you think there's been a bust to say, okay, today, no baseball, let's get home to Toronto, get some stuff, and get back there?
Know.
Would they even be allowed to do that?
I doubt it, man.
Borders.
Can you imagine you saw like, Kevin Biggio in Yorkville this afternoon?
Yeah, like, that's tough. Like, the borders, quarantine, all
I'm not
of that
talking about going home and going into Yorkville. I'm talking about going and packing a different luggage bag and getting – they haven't been home in
I
a month and a half.
But
how long have they been away?
That's been a month anyway, yeah. But their home isn't even really Toronto anyway. It's their off-season home where all their stuff is. When they come up here for the season, half the season they're on the road anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, a day off, what that's like. Guys don't – the last thing they want to do is get on a bus or go somewhere. And that's all they do. So I think they'd probably just be hanging out and a couple drinks or, do something other than just going to the ball field and hitting balls and just going through your game day routine.
I know one thing. They're not going for wings. The idea of wings in Buffalo are amazing is the most overrated thing in
really?
Sports eating history of the world. Have you ever had wings in Buffalo where you're like, these are the, what?
I've had great wings there. The Anchor Bar has unbelievable wings.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. If you talk to any local in Buffalo, they will say the Anchor Bar or whatever it's called, most overrated thing. There's a place a kilometer down the street from me called Sloppy Joe's, best wings in
Canada. Brutal.
What?
No. Yeah, brutal.
You've
wings.
Never been there.
You're right.
You're talking to. Well, I know, but
I have not been there. But you're downplaying the wing capital of the world. And the Anchor Bar, I get because I understand why locals feel that way. That's what locals always do. Locals are snobby about what tourists feel are the go-to things. You know,
I think it's on par with a deep dish in Chicago, how overrated that is.
That's the worst food take you've ever had in your life.
Yeah.
No. Just for
deep
the round.
Dish
you've
is
had
fantastic.
Some brutal
oh,
fantastic
really? What's your food dish. Take? I'm just saying the wings in Buffalo is an overrated thing. Overrated.
It's not. It's
yes,
not.
It
basically, you know what? We're spoiled here in Toronto with some great restaurants.
There are great wings up here.
But there are but
Toronto.
You go to Buffalo, you want wings. You go to Chicago, you want deep dish. You go to Philadelphia, you're going down to Pat or Gino's for
you
a
cheesesteak.
Steak.
Exactly.
Right.
That's just
like,
that's the culture, man. That's the history down there. Yeah. Ray Ferraro coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Now Al's brother is weighing in on this. It's just,
I can't wait.